Hi, this is English Digest, and I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
We're on the air, and you're listening to us, and we are traveling today.
I think we're in a studio.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, theoretical, you know, it's just a supposition, you know.
Are we pretending we're traveling today?
We're basically pretending all the time we're talking on the show. Basically, language is basically representing something. Language itself is a ghost of the real thing, but that's pretty heavy. We're not going to get into that right now, but just in a sense, use your imagination, and we are going to be traveling today. And it's February. It's pretty cold where we're going, but that's okay. We are going to be nice and warm inside with a bunch of oil slicks, or paintings, as they're actually called.
So we're going to go visit a very famous museum, and actually, we're going to travel abroad. We're not going to stay in Taiwan. We're going to go over to Europe.
Boy, that's a long flight.
Yeah, to the city of Paris. Doesn't that sound great?
Gay Paris.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to a museum there. No, we're not going to the Louvre Museum, although I'm sure lots of you would like to go there. I haven't been there myself. But we're actually going to a former rail station, which is now an art museum called the Musée d'Orsay. I hope I said that right. I'm not a specialist in French, and I'm not apologizing for not speaking French here, but that's my best pronunciation of the French word for this museum called the Musée d'Orsay, or I guess you could say the Orsay Museum.
Okay, guys, we're going to get started. We're going to read through our article, and then we'll be back to talk about it.
Resting on the bank of the Seine River and directly across from the Louvre Museum is the Musée d'Orsay, one of France's premier museums. It houses a world-class collection of Impressionist and Post-Impressionist art. Much of the art is French, including pieces by Monet, Cézanne, and Renoir. In addition, there are works by foreign artists, including Van Gogh and Whistler. Just past the entrance of the Musée d'Orsay, the element that stands out most is the building's main hall. If it looks a bit like a rail station, that's because it used to be one. The museum was actually built in 1900 as the train station Gare d'Orsay. Over time, its functions were transformed from strictly suburban transport to a World War II mail center. In 1970, the station was on the verge of ruin and was set to be demolished. A government official objected and planned to turn it into a hotel, but the idea was ruled out. Finally, a proposal was made to make the structure a museum, and in 1986 it started displaying exhibits. The Musée d'Orsay is not as large or old as the Louvre, nor does it display ancient or Renaissance artwork. Instead, there is a large collection of 19th century pieces displayed inside, including masterpieces such as Starry Night Over the Rhone by Vincent van Gogh and Apples and Oranges by Paul Cézanne. With its massive main hall, notable collection of Impressionist arts, and unique past, the Musée d'Orsay is unlike any other museum in the world. If you're ever in Paris and want to take in some of the city's best art, be sure to stop by the Musée d'Orsay.
So, guys, let's take a look at our article here. We've got an interesting word in the title, Musée d'Orsay, from rail station to elite museum. If something is described as being elite, it's one of the best, it's very select, only some of the very few get to go there. For example, I could say that Taiwan University is an elite university. You have to test very well to be accepted in as a student. But luckily for us, we know it's in an elite museum, but anyone can go and look at the paintings. But if you want to be one of the artists who is featured there, you have to be one of the elite, one of the very, very best.
And this is an elite museum, one of the top museums in France. It's not a lowly, low-class kind of museum that you can get into for free, and the art is all done on cheap newsprint and stuff like that. This is a fine, exquisite museum, and you can expect to see some of the world's best art in this museum. And you can write home and tell your friends all about it. Well, where is this museum? It says here, resting on the bank of the Seine River and directly across from the Louvre Museum is the Musée d'Orsay. And here it says it's one of France's premier museums. The main river in Paris is called the Seine, which is how I pronounce it, although I have a feeling that the French pronounce it differently. Is it like Seine or something
like
that?
It is Seine.
I thought so. And I'm very surprised you didn't stop me and say, no, it's Seine.
I almost did because I never call it the Seine River. I call it the Seine River.
I did look it up in the dictionary, and most people in the English-speaking world say Seine, although
especially,
French is...
Especially if you don't know any French. I think if you've studied French, it's very hard to say the Seine River. It sounds weird to me.
If you've studied French, of course, you want the world to know that you know how to pronounce it. Oh, come on.
The bank of a river is the side of a river where there's no water. It's just the part that is built up to keep the water inside the river. There's the left bank, the right bank. So resting on the bank or the side of the river. And directly across from the very famous Louvre Museum is the Musée d'Orsay. And here we're using a similar word to elite, which is premier. Premier is always used in front of a noun. It's an adjective. It just means most important or the best. What do you think is this city's premier restaurant, Tom, at least for you?
I guess Ding Tai Fung is the premier restaurant here in Taiwan, Taipei, I guess, because it's been reviewed in newspapers all over the world, although anybody can go there.
True.
But in any case here, this is one of France's premier museums. Mm-hmm. I could also say in England they have the Premier League, which, of course, has Manchester United and Chelsea and Arsenal and all those teams. Maybe you're a fan. Who knows? And this museum houses a world-class collection of Impressionist and Post-Impressionist art. House here, that's the verb. The actual building you live in is a house, but here it's being used as a verb to house. That just means to contain these things inside of it.
And I'm sure a lot of our listeners notice the difference in your pronunciation, Tom. If it's a noun, it's an S sound, house. But if it's being used as a verb, then it's a Z sound, to house. To house something means it has something inside it. So inside of the museum is a world-class collection, the best in the whole world, of two types of art, Impressionist and Post-Impressionist art. Impressionist art describes painters who had a style of painting that began in France around the late 1800s, 1870. They used to use spots of color to show the effects of different kinds of light. So the paintings are very, most of them are very cheerful. They're beautiful. I love Impressionist works. They attempted to capture the feeling of a scene rather than specific details. They would paint so you could feel like you were looking at a group of people outside, maybe enjoying a picnic or some ballerinas practicing inside of a studio. Post-Impressionist were artists who actually came after the Impressionists, and their style was a little different. They used very, very, very vibrant colors, strong colors, and they used a more thick paint. Van Gogh is an example of a Post-Impressionist painter. Now, much of the art is French inside this museum. The French seem to like their own artists, I must say.
They like their own wine, too, and their own cheese,
and
their own bread.
Yes.
Basically, they don't like anything from outside of France.
They're changing a little bit. If you've been keeping up with the news, Tom, France is a little different. Even Paris is changing.
Hopefully. But, hey, if you go to France, you would expect to see French art, so there's nothing wrong with that. So you've got some famous French artists here, Monet, Cézanne, and Renoir. You can look those up. I could tell you what they painted, but we don't really have time for that right now. And in addition, there are works by foreign artists, which means artists outside of France, including Van Gogh from Holland, the Netherlands, and Whistler, which, of course, is an American painting famous for Whistler's mother.
Now, just past the entrance of the museum, the element that stands out the most is the building's main hall. It's kind of cool. Now, the entrance of something just means a place that's used for entering or going inside something else. It could be a door, could be a very large gate. So we've got the entrance of the museum, and just past that, you can see the building's main hall. A hall is a long usually narrow passageway that people walk down. And this one actually looks a bit like a rail station or a railway station. You could say that too.
Yep. Hey, why are you taking me to this train station? We're not going anywhere. You thought we were supposed to go to a museum. Oh, this is the museum.
Yes.
Well, that's because it used to be a museum. It was before. It used to be a train station. It's a museum now. And this museum has a bit of history. It was actually built way back in 1900 as the train station Gare d'Orsay. Gare in French means railway station, so the Orsay train station is what it used to be. It was built in 1900, and over time its functions were transformed from strictly suburban transport to a World War II mail center. Here we have the verb to transform, which means something changes its form. It's one thing before, and it becomes something else later. Like that movie The Transformers, for example. And here we're using it in the passive voice to be transformed from something to something else. So that's the pattern, from something to something. It was transformed from a place that handles transport to a mail center. Now, the transport here is referring to transportation of people coming from the suburbs of Paris into Paris. So that's called suburban transport. Suburban means having to do with an urban area that is outside the main urban area. Here in Taipei, of course, the suburbs of Taipei would include, well, I guess it's now called New Taipei City. So I guess that's actually a city now, not really suburbs, although I still think of New Taipei City as a suburb of Taipei.
Now, notice urban is actually a word we use for right inside the city. I know Tom said it was an urban area. He meant suburban or a suburb. So a suburb is outside the main part of the city where people typically live. I have to admit, Taiwan is a little bit different than a lot of big cities because people live right inside the city center here. In America, a lot of times in the center of a city, you'll have buildings and stores, and then you have to drive outside to see homes where most of the people live. Although there are people who live right inside a city, and that is the urban area, like Detroit, Chicago, they have urban areas. Now, strictly means limited to that one thing. So it used to just be a transportation center for people from outside the city to come into the city. And then it was changed into a World War II mail center, kind of like a post office, you might say. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk more about this, guys. But first, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher and take a quick break.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tim. 欢迎来到 English Digest. 今天我们要看的主题是 travel, 旅游。首先我们看到第一段的第一句。Resting on the bank of the Seine River.And directly across from the Louvre Museum is the Musée d'Orsay, one of France's premier museums. 奥赛美术馆坐落于塞纳河畔，正对着罗浮宫，是法国最顶尖的博物馆之一。这里我们看到一个文法点，这个句子是属于主词补语放在句首的倒装用法。在英文当中，有些文章为了强调补语，常会把补语放在句首。像这句话的原句应该是 The Musée d'Orsay is resting on the bank of the Seine River and directly across from the Louvre Museum. 让我来举个例子，例如 Sitting right next to my father is his best friend from college. 这里的 sitting right next to my father 就是属于主词补语。这句话的意思就是坐在我爸爸旁边的是他大学最好的朋友。而这句话的原句就是 My father's best friend from college is sitting right next to him. 好，接着让我们看到第二句。It houses a world-class collection of impressionist and post-impressionist art. 博物馆里收藏了世界级的印象派以及后印象派的艺术作品。这里我们看到一个字 house, 我们一般都知道它当名词时是房子的意思。然而这里则要念成 house。发字的音代表收藏收纳的意思。例如 The library houses about 1 million books, 表示该图书馆收藏了约100万本书。接着我们看到第二段的第一句。Just past the entrance of the Musée d'Orsay, the element that stands out the most is the building's main hall. 一通过奥赛美术馆的入口，最引人注目的是建筑物的大厅。这里看到个名词 entrance 代表入口，而 entrance 除了能当作入口的意思之外，也可以当作进入的权利。例如 You need an ID card to gain entrance to the building， 表示你需要有证件才能进入这栋大楼。 An entrance 当作动词时，发音是完全的不同，要念成 entrance，表示使某人入迷、着迷的意思。例如 The singer entranced his audience with numerous love songs， 表示这位歌手用多首情歌让他的听众听得如痴如醉。
We're going to take a few minutes, but we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Let's continue with our lesson today. We're talking about a museum in France. No, it's not the Louvre that's got that glass pyramid sitting in front of it.
Which is new.
A Chinese architect designed that. But we're actually going to a museum that's nearby the Louvre. It's called the Musée d'Orsay. And hey, if you happen to be going to the Louvre, if you've got some extra time here, maybe you should stop by the Musée d'Orsay. We did mention in the first part of the museum that it mostly contains French paintings by Impressionist and Post-Impressionist painters, but they've got some foreign artists, including Van Gogh and Whistler. And it looks like a train station. That's because it used to be one. So it was a train station, then it was a post office, and now it is the museum that we all know and love.
So it really did transform or change completely. Well, let's look at the history of this particular museum. In 1970, that train station was on the verge of ruin and was set to be demolished. Ooh. If you're on the verge of something, it means something's just about to happen or it's very likely to happen in the very near future. So it's kind of at a point where things could change completely. For example, I could say, wow, that company is on the verge of shutting down, of going bankrupt. So they're almost ready to stop doing business. They're having a lot of financial troubles. So that was where it started. So in 1970, it was on the verge of ruin. Ruin here just means it was about to be completely destroyed. So it wasn't doing very well, and people just wanted to have it knocked down. If you demolish something, it means you completely destroy something so it's no longer standing. We often will demolish old buildings before we want to build something new. Those old buildings are kind of dangerous. People don't like to even look at them. They look bad. So they'll go in, they'll demolish or knock down the walls, get rid of the old stuff, and then they'll get ready to build something new. So that's where it was in 1970. They were going to demolish this old train station because it wasn't being used and it looked bad.
Yeah, after the 921 earthquake, there were lots of buildings that were ruined, you know, and so they were demolished later and new apartment buildings were built in their place.
Oh, here in Taiwan, yeah.
Yeah, I remember lots of buildings were demolished because they just simply weren't safe anymore.
Uh-huh.
And now we've got new buildings there. And in any case here, yes, the train station, the post office, the d'Orsay, whatever you want to call it, was on the verge of ruin. It was about to be destroyed or demolished. And then a government official, somebody working in the government, this person objected, which means you just oppose what is going to happen. I object. I oppose that. I don't want to see that demolished. And this government official planned to turn it into a hotel. What a great idea. Stay at that hotel, get up in the morning, go to the Louvre, and then go back to your hotel room at night. But that idea was ruled out.
If you rule something out, this is a verb phrase. It means it's no longer being considered as a possibility. Usually after people discuss something or carefully study it, they talk it out. They think, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to rule it out. You're no longer going to consider something. So that idea was no longer considered. They ruled it out. They said, no, that won't work. Finally, a different proposal was made, and this time they said, hey, let's take this old train station and turn it into a museum or transform it into a museum. So in 1986, it started displaying exhibits. A lot of times museums, of course, will have different exhibits come through. An exhibit is when you have a collection of objects that are being put out into a public space for people to come and see them. It's kind of fun. We have a lot of exhibits that come through here in Taiwan.
We certainly do. And remember, exhibits here, just because it's plural, does not mean it represents the individual works of art. It's the whole display, including everything that is an exhibit. An exhibit of the art of Van Gogh, for example, would include many paintings, not just the individual ones.
Or I could say, oh, you know, at the National Palace Museum, they have an exhibit of Qing Dynasty art that focuses on bronze works.
Did they do bronze in the Qing Dynasty?
I don't know, but that's the whole collection. I just recorded a video about the Qing Dynasty bronze artwork, okay, so maybe, yeah.
I thought bronze was more like the Zhou Dynasty or something like that. But in any case here, they are displaying exhibits. At least they began to do so way back in the 1980s, 1986 to be exact. Now, the Musée d'Orsay is not as large or old as the Louvre, so we could say it's smaller and younger than the Louvre, nor does it display ancient or Renaissance artwork. So notice here we got the negative pattern, not something, neither something else, or nor, not and nor. It's not as large and old as the Louvre, nor does it display ancient or Renaissance artwork. So if you're into a big museum, a really old one, and if you like ancient art from, you know, really long time ago, several centuries ago, or Renaissance artwork, well, the Musée d'Orsay is not the place for you.
Yeah, Renaissance is from a while ago. It's part of European history that was between the 14th and 17th centuries. Well, instead of seeing just what you can see at the Louvre, you'll see a large collection of 19th century pieces displayed inside. So artwork from the 1800s. Masterpieces such as Starry Night over the Rhone. That's a very famous painting by Vincent van Gogh. Here's another one, Apples and Oranges. Notice that the titles of the art have been typed in italics, so you know there are titles of something specific. The second piece of art is by Paul Cézanne. With its massive main hall, massive means very, very big, very large, a notable collection of Impressionist art and its unique past, the Musée d'Orsay is unlike any other museum in the world. If you have something that's notable, you're saying it's worth noting. It's worth paying attention to because it's quite unique or very amazing. So it's got a notable collection. Because I love Impressionist art, it was one of the first museums I went to. I love Impressionist art. So it also has, remember, post-impressionist art as well. So if you like those types of painting styles, you'll be sure to love Musée d'Orsay.
But you got to go to Paris to go there. So yeah. If you've ever been to Paris or if you're ever in Paris and want to take in some of the city's best art, hey, be sure to stop by the Musée d'Orsay. To take in here just means to enjoy something, especially something like a movie or an art exhibit, a concert. Hey, let's go take in a movie tonight. Mm. Sounds like a good idea. And stop by just means to stop and check something out. Hey, if you're in town, hey, stop by and visit. We'll cook you dinner and stuff
cool.
like that. And, yeah, stop by the Musée d'Orsay. They would love to see you stop by, take some pictures, and have a grand old time. That's the end of our lesson for today. But before we say goodbye formally, we'd like to listen to our Chinese teacher for a few minutes.
接下来我们看到第二段的第五句。 In 1970, the station was on the verge of ruin and was said to be demolished. 这里看到个名词, verge, 表示边缘的意思。 当我们讲 on the verge of something, 就表示 在什么的边缘,濒临什么的状态。例如, Susan was on the verge of bursting into tears when her dog went missing. 表示, Susan在她的狗走丢的时候差点要大哭出来。而后面还看到一个动词, demolish, 表示毁坏,拆除的意思。例如, The building was demolished to make way for a highway. 表示这栋大楼被拆掉是为了要挪出空间盖高速公路。接着再看到第二段的倒数第二句, A government official objected and planned to turn it into a hotel, but the idea was ruled out.
有位政府官员表示反对并提议将奥赛车站改建为饭店，但意见却被否决了。这里看到一个动词 object 表示反对的意思，通常我们在后面加上 to 表示反对某事物的意思。例如 The local residents objected to the construction of a nuclear plant in their town， 表示当地的居民反对在他们的家乡建设核电厂。而这个字当名词时表示物品或目标的意思，而这时要念成 object， 重音不同。例如 The object of the concert is to raise money for charity， 表示这场演唱会的目的是为了替慈善活动募款。接着后面看到个片语 rule out， 表示排除不考虑的意思。例如 Mary didn't rule out the possibility of studying abroad，表示玛丽并未排除出国留学的可能性。而最后让我们来看到第三段的第二句。Instead, there is a large collection of 19th century pieces displayed inside. 反之，它里头展出大量的19世纪馆藏。这里我们看到文法点。There is something displayed, 表示有什么东西在那里展出的意思。而句型 there be 就表示有什么什么东西的意思。它的后面可以接上名词或者名词片语，用来表示某人事物的存在。而名词片语后可以接上分词，主动时接 ving， 被动时则接上 pp， 说明那样东西正在进行的动作或者所处的状态。例如 There are numerous soldiers protecting the castle's gates， 那边有许多士兵在守卫着城堡大门。这里的 protecting 就属于主动的用法。There was an ancient statue buried over there. 那里以前有座古老的雕像埋在那边。这里的 bury 就属于被动用法，如我们课本的例句一样。
That's it for our lesson for today. Thanks for joining us and do enjoy your visit to the Musée d'Orsay if you plan to go. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.